Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look forward to the readings for this Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Easter. Let me comment on that. I have in past years as well. This is the third Sunday of Easter, not the third Sunday after Easter. Easter goes on here for 50 days. This is Easter. This is the Easter season. This is the time to rejoice in the risen Christ. This is the time to rejoice in what God did for you, what God made possible for you. This is the time to thank Him for the gifts He has given you. This is the time to draw closer to Him, to acknowledge what He suffered for you. He really did. He suffered it for you. He knows you, each of us. He didn't just die for an anonymous crowd. He died for you and me. He knows us. Let that go from the head to the heart. Let that penetrate all the things that the world tells us. And if I can't see it, I don't believe it. I hear people say that. And you've cut yourself out of the majority of what is good. God waits for us with great patience, that we might come to Him, that we might know the love that He has for us. First reading for this Sunday is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, and then 17 to 19. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what He had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." Every time I read these passages, I just marvel at Peter. Peter, the one who seemed most cowardly, but the one who so quickly came and repented. And look what God did to strengthen him. Look at the gifts God gave him. Brothers and sisters, what matters is your repentance. That's what matters. And if you repent for the past, repent in any way for anything present, and then say, "Lord, I want to be your disciple. Teach me. Help me. Father, I want to be your son, or I want to be your daughter. Teach me. Help me. Show me. Guide me." You eventually are drawn into the family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you will know love, and you will know forgiveness. I urge you, if you're standing on the outside, I urge you to come forward. Come to God. Talk to Him. Repent for your sin. Talk to a priest. Talk to someone who can help you. It isn't humiliating. It's a time for great rejoicing. And when you begin to know the pleasure that God has in you for your repentance, you will know joy. You really will. "Just as your leaders did, I know that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did, but God has thus brought to fulfillment what He had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." And when our sins are wiped away, and we're committed to following the Lord on the path to union with Him, even if we fall a number of times, if you're committed to keep following the Lord, then His face will shine upon us. Look at Psalm 4. When I call, answer me, O my just God, you who relieve me when I am in distress. Have pity on me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart. As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep, for you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling, to my body. You bring security. Don't we need security? It can't be found in money. It can't be found in power. It can't be found in any of the things that become addictions in our lives. It can't be found there. It's found in Jesus Christ. And I mean that. It's not just some pious statement. I mean that. That's where your security is. That's where peace is. That's where hope is. That's where love is. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. Come to me. And the first letter of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. You keep the word, do what God has asked, and repent when you fail. You're not going to do it perfectly. Just repent and then get back on the track again. Whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The Alleluia verse before the gospel says, Lord Jesus, open the scriptures to us. Make our hearts burn while you speak to us. Do you recall that line? Some time ago, we were talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Remember, they were leaving Jerusalem. They were terrified. Jesus Christ had died on the cross. They were brokenhearted, and they were afraid, and they were going back to what they knew. And they're on this road. Do you remember that? And Jesus walks alongside him, and they think he's a stranger, and they talk to him, but they don't recognize him. Until at one moment, Jesus has offered basically to say Mass for them. They think that he's a stranger. They told him all about Jesus. He asked them all questions to get them to tell him everything. Read this section of Luke. It's powerful. And then Jesus wants to celebrate the liturgy, and he asks those disciples who look like they're going on, just dropping him off wherever he's staying, and he said, stay with me. And they recognize him in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, how central it is and how important it is for us. And now, here's another section of it. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. See. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And they see the wounds. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? I love that. He's showing them, I'm here in human form. I'm right with you. It's the God you have come to know. This is Jesus. Have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them so they could see. They could see Jesus Christ in the flesh. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. God will do the same for you. Yes, read good text. Yes, read good explanations. Yes, ask questions of people. I don't expect you automatically understand it fully, but you are capable of understanding it. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say much more about this at another time, but I was just reading a book about a little book, and I'll tell you more later, about a young Polish priest who was martyred in Poland in the 1980s. More to come on that. But what I wanted to share with you was a priest went to the bedside of a dying man, and he had known about this priest and known that this priest had died. And he's at the bed of a dying man, the doctors had said, and this just happened in the 1990s, that the doctors had just said, this man has about 5 minutes to live. His wife is there. He's clearly dying. Most people have stepped out of the room. This priest, who's a hospital chaplain from France, comes in, and he knelt down by this dying man's bed, and he said to the priest, I'll tell you more later, but he said to the priest who had died, who was martyred, he said to him, "This is your chance. This is your opportunity. Today is your birthday. I ask you in your name and in the name of Jesus that this man before me here in bed be healed." The priest finished his prayers. He left. His wife came into the room. Within 5 minutes, he opened his eyes. He looked at his wife and he said, "What am I doing here?" And she said, You have cancer. You're very sick." And he said, "What?" She said, "You have cancer. You're very sick." And he said, he was just dumbfounded. And she called in the doctor because she could tell he looked differently. He wasn't in that agony that he had been in. And she called in the doctor, and they came in, and they tested him right then and there. There was not a trace of cancer found in his body at the completion of those tests. Brothers and sisters, God lives. God hears the cry of the poor. God hears us. Sometimes the best thing is for someone to die and go with God, even though we can't see the whole picture. Sometimes God heals because he knows what he wills for someone. He knows what is the best thing for someone. But trust him. Put your faith in him. Ask him for what you need. And then wait upon the way that he answers. You someday may also be part of an answer for someone else. May God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.